really much more bodily, physically minded, because that's what we see. To really become spiritually mature, we have got to break through that. We have got to look past that and look at the spirit of the man. Paul says that though we know we have known Christ according to the flesh, we know him thus no longer. And he says, you are to regard no one according to the flesh any longer. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So he's beginning to describe what's really the case. He says, all things are of God. And he goes on to describe the relationship that we have with the Father, that it is all based on our spirit. It's not based on our body. Now, of these three parts, the spirit, the soul, and the body, the soul and the spirit together make up what the Bible calls the heart. That's what the heart is. But, and I told you last week, you need to have, you know, don't be too simple in your thinking about the Bible. It says, in understanding, be mature. There can be some complexity to it in just understanding it. I mean, once you understand it, it's actually quite simple. But the Bible can talk about the heart, and yet it's really talking about just the soul. It's not talking about the spirit and the soul together. The Bible can talk about the heart, and it's really only talking about the spirit. It's not talking about the two together. And sometimes when it talks about the heart, it's talking about the combination of the two. All right? How do you know which is which? Simply by the context. You'll know it. Just read the context and you'll understand. But one of the clues is, if it has any evilness to it, it cannot be talking about the spirit, for there is no evil in the spirit. The spirit of man is just like Christ. As Christ is, so am I in this world. 1 John 4:17. As Christ is, so am I. And you may look at yourself and your behavior, your attitudes, your thoughts, and you say, I don't see that. I don't see how that's possible. That's because it's not talking about your attitudes and your behavior and your thoughts. Those are all parts of your soul. That scripture is referring to your spirit man. Your spirit man was made according to God in righteousness and holiness. It was made according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. It's made perfect and pure. So just as Christ is, so am I, and so are you in this world right now, talking about your spirit. Yet it says, from the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, licentiousness, wrath, anger, jealousies. Well, these things don't come out of the spirit. So even though it said the heart, we know in that verse he's talking about from your soul. Your soul is made up of three parts. What are they? Mind, will, and emotions. Yeah, give them a fist. Your mind, your will, and emotions. So I'm going to, here's the statement I said I was going to make. This is going to be a strong statement, but it's absolutely the case. I wrote it down so I could say it exactly the way I want to say it, so I might as well read it. Look at me, I'm actually using my notes. Rare occasion. Okay, here it is. The heart is where it all happens. And where it is determined what will be produced from our lives. The heart is where it all happens. I mean everything. The heart is where it all happens. And it is the heart that determines what will be produced from your life. The heart of man. This is an analogy I've used for nearly 30 years, and I can't think of one better. It is so perfect. And the photographers in this room will appreciate it probably more than any. The heart of man is just like the film inside of a camera. Although maybe you younger photographers may not appreciate this, actually. I just realized that. This analogy was really great for about 20 years. I just realized my analogy is probably getting seriously outdated. The heart of man is exactly like the film in a camera. And just how a camera operates. When you open up the aperture of a camera, whatever is before that camera gets exposed onto the film within that camera, right? And then that is what gets developed. What you develop is what was exposed onto the film of that camera. Nothing else. If I point the camera over here, I am not going to develop a picture of Peter, am I? It's not going to happen. Why? Because I did not expose the film to Peter. I exposed the film to a brick wall and mic stands and whatever's over here. What is in the heart of man is what gets produced in your life. And this is why Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you see. Take heed of the words that come out of your mouth. Multiple scriptures talk about the words of your mouth, what is before your eyes, and what you hear. The reason I will repeat these over and over is because these are the three gates to the soul. This is what gets exposed onto the soul. My son, Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, pay attention, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Right? He says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Then he goes on to say, guard what? Your heart. You know, with a small degree of effort. Guard your heart how? With all diligence. Guard it. Listen to the language of the Lord. Guard your heart, the film, with all diligence. Don't open up that aperture to just anything. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of Zoe, eternal life. That's where it comes from. The heart is where it all happens. Everything that is in your life comes as a result of, now get this, of the image that you have of yourself on the inside. Everything. Everything. Everything that is in your life. I preached this in a prison one time about 20 years ago. You know how well that went over? All of you that are in here because of an image you have of yourself on the inside and the words that came out of your mouth. Everything that's in every one of our lives, I could say it a lot of different ways, it's all the same thing. Our life is the sum total of choices that we have made in our life. That's another way I could say it. It's a whole other teaching, but it's the exact same thing. Our life, as it sits right now, is the sum total of choices that you and I have made. Now, in our take no responsibility entitlement culture, that goes over like a lead brick. It doesn't sit well with people, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. No, come on. What the amount of money I have is based on choices that I've made? Absolutely. The relationships I'm in are because of choices I've made? Absolutely. What about the sadness and or the joy? What about the wisdom or lack thereof? Every aspect of your and my life is a result of choices that we've made. Now I'm going to get back more direct to the way I want to teach it today. Our heart is the place where everything is determined for our life. Your heart and my heart produces the fruit of our life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12, about verses 34 and 35, I think it is, but I want to pick it up in Luke. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. Yeah, Luke 6, verses 43 through 45. Here's how it works. What's in your heart in abundance, you will not be able to control it coming out of your mouth. The words that you're speaking, what you're saying all the time to people around you all the time, is as a result of what you believe based on the image that's in your heart. Your mouth will speak it. Doesn't have a choice. Now, you can control it. You say, well, I'll just control it then. You can do that for an hour. Most people can't get beyond that. It'll come out and they'll, I forgot. If you're really good, maybe you can go a day, and if you are just really sold out to this concept, maybe a week. But that, it's like holding a log underwater. It will come to the surface. I mean, it's going to happen. This is how it works. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus said it this way, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. He's talking about the heart of man. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. It can't. It won't do it. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bushes. Now listen, do you think he really is concerned with bramble bushes and figs and thorns? No, he's using this to teach, to make a point. It's a parable, and then he goes into talking about the heart of man. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's very important to understand it's out of the abundance of the heart because, again, you can control your mouth for a little while, but out of the abundance, what's in there in abundance is what's going to come out on a regular basis. That's what's going to come out consistently, and that is what comes out of your mouth consistently that gets produced in your life. When I was in that prison and I preached that, I got a phone call from the chaplain of the prison the next day. What in the world did you say to these men? I had three of them sitting at my door when I got to work this morning. And they were like, tell me more about what he was talking about. And he didn't know anything of what I was talking about. So he literally called me up to get on my case. He was upset with me. He's like, I got these men asking me all these questions. I don't know what in the world they're talking about. So he talked to me for a while. It took me about 10 or 15 minutes of talking to him, and I just kind of started explaining a few things, and I said, and of course, this and this, and you know, and this, and you know, and then it was just like, he was just really upset with me, and then it kind of hit me what was going on here, and I said, could I ask you a question? He said, sure. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Young man, I've been alive longer than you'd be teaching. I appreciate that. I understand that. And I respect that. I really do. But I just want to get to the bottom line of why we're not seeing things. So I just asked him. And we got to talking. And bottom line is, he did not know the Lord. He's the chaplain. And he did not know the Lord. Well, I ended up in a prison ministry and taught many prisons and found out to be the normal case is that most of the chaplains there do not know the Lord. That's sad. They're in there to give spiritual direction. They don't even know the Lord. So anyhow, the men loved it. Well, in fact, at the end of that service, you know what happened? There was probably 30 men in there, two very large guards in the back. Because I was told, actually, when I got there, they told me not to preach that day. I got there and they said, you can't go in there today. We have the list of people who signed up. And the people that are going there, they're not going there to hear about the Bible. We know that. So it's a bad situation, and we know that, so we're canceling the service. And I said, those are the very people I need to talk to. He goes, no, you're not going. I said, sir, this is what I'm called to do. I need to go in there. So we argued a little bit, and he finally said, all right, if you're going in there, Jack, I need you to go in here. Bob, he grabbed the two biggest guys he could find. You're going in there with them. So they stood in the back, you know. And I preached, and I brought it heavy. There was probably, 25 men in the room. At the very end, I said, if you would like, then I just laid it on him. I said, you're here. It's your responsibility. You put yourself here. Everything about your life is based on the choices you've made in your life. Now, everyone wants to say, well, you know, what about, I was raised in a situation and blah, 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 and I had this very dysfunctional family. My dad left when I was 2 years old and, you know, et cetera. I'm not saying that environment does not affect us and want to alter the picture that we have on the inside of us. It absolutely will, temporarily. It's up to you and it's up to me to not allow that picture to remain. We have to guard our heart with all diligence. So we begin to speak to our heart. We begin to get into God's word and let the word of God, and this is how we change the picture in our heart. I assumed you know this, but I decided maybe I better say this. I mean, I've taught enough on it. I'm sure you know where I'm going. But we need to spend time in the word to change that image on the inside of our heart. Anyhow, so I was teaching that to these men. And at the end, I said, so if you would like to begin to make the right choices and radically change your life, the first thing you need is God in your life. He will come alongside you and do this with you. But it will still be your choices from here on out, even with God. God will never take away your free will. He gave you a free will. He will honor it all the way to and through the gates of hell. Do you want him on your side? Do you want to give your life to Christ? And if you do, if you want to start making the very first, start off with the very best choice you can ever make in your life, and then go forward from there, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, I'd like to ask you to come up here right now and pray with me. I think there were two or three men that remained in their seats. And they just lined up. And I was not supposed to touch these guys. And I went right down the row and just started laying hands on every one of them. The guards are both sitting back there, you know. And I started laying hands on them. Now, I had mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit, too, but that wasn't what I was teaching on. And here's what happened. I know this is not what I'm teaching, but it's so exciting. I just want to share it anyhow. Father, I just pray for this man. And, you know, I just prayed a prayer of salvation over him. I prayed over all of them initially. And then I just said, Father, I wanted to pray blessing over him. Father, just pray a blessing on this man. Father, your hand be on me. Shabdu Muriya Rabba. I laid the hands on this guy. Immediately started speaking in tongues. I laid hands on this guy. I didn't even teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said something about it. I said, this is something that you want. I've led hundreds of people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I've taught them about, you know, how it all works. But rarely does anyone just start speaking in tongues. It normally takes a little bit of time. Only because of why? Anyone know? Exactly. What's another way of saying that? Unbelief, period. Anyone can do it immediately with a full language. I didn't. It took me 2 weeks to get 3 words out. But no one taught me. I just read it. I found out about it. I mean, I wish I had someone encouraging me in it, but I just, you know. So, in fact, the only reason I got there after 2 weeks is because I finally went to a pastor and I said, you know, I read this. Is this still true? Absolutely. Thank God I found a pastor who believed in it and not someone who said no. I would have been dead in the water for who knows how long before I finally found out. But he said yes. And get this. Now, he was like I was with those men in the prison. I said, well, then why is it not happening? He said, it's real easy. You believe the devil more than you believe God. I'm just whack. That's literally what he said to me. I'm like, excuse me? I love God. Well, I didn't say you didn't love God. You just believe the devil more than you believe God. And he said, are you having these thoughts like, oh, sure, you're just going to speak in this other language that you've never learned? Yeah, that's exactly what. See, you're believing the devil when you believe in God. Just totally. So anyhow, that night I was speaking in tongues. So I just laid hands on these men and several of them started speaking in tongues and just lit up for God. And then 3 of them were sitting at the chaplain's door. Now they wanted more of God. And so this guy calls me up. He's all mad, but. So, as it relates to the heart is, does anyone here know what an interface is besides Kenton? Do you know an interface? Well, they're in many contexts, but I mean, it's all. There's an interface in the computer world, interface in electrical world, interface in telecommunications, interface in... An interface is when you have basically, let me just put it in a nutshell, I mean, there's many ways you could say this, but basically you have two systems that need to work together, but they're not compatible without an interface that brings the two together and makes it work. Everyone has a telephone. Well, not anymore. Most people don't have landlines. I still have a landline. You remember those things? You could. Yeah. I have a landline in my house, and down in my basement, and every single one of your homes. If you own a home, even if you don't have a landline, if you go, you have a basement. Go into the basement or wherever this would be. You'll find a box on the back wall of your house, either on the inside or on the outside. Small box, typically about this big. It's called an interface. That the phone company has these massive phone lines that they send to the poles next to your house, and then they run a cable from the pole to your house. Well, that cable is too large and has too much data in it, too much power in it to send it through the phone lines of your house. It would just blow up your house. I mean, it wouldn't work. So an interface like reduces it down to the right combination, the right number of, you know, the right size, let's put it that way, the right size of information, and sends it into the lines. Your whole house has already been wired for phone lines. They're all throughout your house, right? Even if you're not using them, you have these in your house. Every single room has phone lines running through the walls with a little jack there, right? Your house is wired and ready to go. The phone company is powered up and ready to produce phone calls for you, but their power is far greater than what's in your house, and they're not compatible. So that wire comes into a box called an interface. That interface then makes this system that's in your house, all the wires running through your house, compatible with this system, which is the powerhouse. It brings them together and makes them work. All right? The soul of man is the interface of heaven and the spirit of man. It's the interface. If you want to tap into all that heaven has for you and all that your spirit has for you, they were made for one another. They are, the analogy breaks down a little bit in that they are exactly the same. However, God has made it in such, whereas the phone company's, you know, got all this power and the house doesn't. I'm repeating this, I'm going to keep saying this until you've got their face that says you understand. No. The spirit of man, the spirit that is inside of us is who or what? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All right? All the power is there. Perfect. However, God designed it in such a way that it has to run through an interface. That interface is your soul. And if your soul is not positioned such that it will allow the connection to happen, you will live out of your soul instead of out of your spirit. And there's no power in your soul. There's a power we call power, but I'm talking real power. The only power, there is a power that's in your soul. Anyone know what that power is? There's a power in your body, there's a power in your soul, and there's a power in your spirit. Very good. Man, give that man a fist. The power that is the power that's in your soul is willpower. The power that's in your body is called strength. The power that's in your spirit is called faith. There's a power in all three of them. What you don't want to be operating out of is your willpower when you have faith available to you. Faith is what created the worlds that exist around us. Faith. Willpower couldn't create a bumblebee. But faith can create the stars, the moon, the sun, all the plants, all the planets, all the animals, all the birds of the air, all the fish of the sea. Faith. And how is faith released? What? No, that's how you receive it. But thank you. I'm glad you brought up that point. But how is faith released? No, but that is necessary to get yourself prepared to release faith. How is faith released? The disciples said to, no, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you say to this mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. What's that have to do with increasing our faith? They just asked him, Lord, increase our faith. And he starts talking about speaking to a tree. Do you think Jesus missed it? Or do you think he was answering their question? He was answering their question. That was my hint. How do you release faith? By speaking.
Oh, that's good.
But do you know what else you release when you speak? Exactly. So is it all good? It could be really bad. You have three spiritual members to your body. I know I'm kind of all over the board today. But I'm just going with it. You have three spiritual members to your body. Anyone? Can anyone tell me what they are? I've taught it once. I'm not expecting you necessarily to know this, but just thought I'd try first. What are they? No, not a spiritual member. Very good. Amen. There's one. The tongue. What's another one? Here's a hint. One is really obvious. No, these are gates to the soul. Three spiritual members of your body.
Heart.
Warm, really warm. We need to get a buzzer. Problem with that, you know, is then no one wants to guess. You lose your audience real fast. He's really warm. No, not the lungs. That's what he said was the heart. No. Mind is part of the what?
Soul.
Three spiritual members of the body. The tongue? No. One is really, really, really obvious. Huh? There you go. Ding, ding, ding. The spirit. Your spirit. I said one is really obvious. Within me, right here, within you, there are three spiritual parts of you. Three spiritual members. God designed it this way. One is your spirit man. One is your tongue, and the other is, I don't think you're going to get this one. Most people don't get this one, but I said it like a couple weeks ago. I just thought maybe someone remembered it. You know, I was having lunch with Lonnie and Julie yesterday, and I said to them something that I really wish everyone in this congregation would listen to every message that is preached here at least one more time during the week. And let me tell you why. Studies have been done to prove this out. I don't know all the numbers. I used to know all the numbers, but I'm really close right now. This is good enough. It's ballpark. If you listen to a one-hour message, 24 hours later, you cannot repeat 5% of that message. 48 hours later, you can repeat no more than 2% of that message. 3 days later, you don't know it. You might be able to come up with the title of a message. That's it. Look at this. If you listen to the one-hour message twice, 24 hours later, you can repeat 20% of that message. 48 hours, you can repeat 10% of that message. It's still kind of bad, but the difference is exponential. I mean, it's like tenfold just by listening to it one more time. I don't remember the numbers, but the third time is crazy. It's like 50% of the message a week later. You can repeat 50% of the message. You know, the main reason for that is because when you hear it the first time, you know nothing. You don't have any kind of a grid. Thank you. What was the other thing someone said? A what? A frame. Thank you. That was good. A frame. You don't have a frame. You don't have a grid. You have nothing. So you're just kind of getting it. And at the end of the message, you think you have it. All you have is a concept. You have the frame. You have a grid. Now, the next time you listen to that message, oh yeah, oh yeah, that goes here. Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah, I got that. That goes with that. That goes with that. That goes over here. You start filling it in, and your mind is starting to get it. The third time, oh, I missed that nuance. Did he say that? Oh my gosh, I don't remember that. You start filling in the picture, starts to become complete. So I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you, I have probably 2,000, well, I have over 1,000 cassette tapes, it tells you. For those of you, these are little square things, they have wheels in them. A few 8-tracks, no, I don't have any 8-track teachings. I do have some 8-tracks, but who here knows what an 8-track is? Wow, all right, half the congregation. All right. You know what? Cassettes are supposed to be improvements. I love the 8-tracks. I mean, you could push buttons and move to different tracks. Then they improved, and now you have to look, find it and hunt it. How was that better? It's smaller. That was it. Anyhow, I have over 1,000 cassette tapes. I bet you I've not listened to any one of those tapes any less than 3 or 4 times. Many of them, 10, 15 times. And then I have a whole stack of CDs and books and all that. Now, I don't listen to every message twice. It has to be worth it. It has to have something to it. If it has something to it, I'll listen to that thing 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times. You know, I'm not saying I listen to every message over and over. If I listen to it, I'm like, I didn't really get much out of that, I don't bother. But when there's meat in it, I will listen to that over and over and over. Otherwise, I know something. I know something. A week later, 2 weeks later, it'll be useless to me. It would have been a waste of my first hour that I spent listening to that message because I don't know anything about it. This is also why, by the way, I've chosen the way that I'm teaching for this last year, which is a very new way for me for about a year and a half now. What am I doing? What's my different approach? Yeah, repetition. I'm teaching the same message over and over and over and over and over. Trust me, I realize my messages would be more exciting if I didn't do that. I'm not worried about being exciting. What I am concerned with, my heart's desire is that your lives are changed. That you are stepping into the truths that Jesus said. If you know these truths, they will make you free. They will set you free. Well, I know the only way you're going to know the truth is to hear it over and over. So where was I? Anyone have any idea? Oh, the third member. All right, good job.
Wow.
Ready? You got it? You going for it?
Playing on our hands.
Ooh, no, but thanks for trying. Thanks for playing. No. What? Just in case people still wanted to guess, I want to do it. Your thoughts. Right, but not. I know, but it's not the same. Thoughts. Do you know this, that every emotion that you and I have is nothing more than a fruit of a thought?
That's good.
It's all it is. It's the fruit of a thought. If you want to change your emotions, you don't like the emotions you have? Real simple. Change your thoughts. Change the way you think. It will affect your emotions. It'll affect your will for bad or for good. Your thoughts are a powerful thing that God has given to you. Your words of your mouth are a powerful gift from heaven. No other creature that God has created did he give the gift of words. No one. No other creature. Of the millions of creatures that God has created, he only gave one the power of words, and that is man. Now you can train a parrot to make the sounds it repeats and sounds like you. But they don't know. They can't choose their own words. They don't know anything. I mean, that's just a parrot. Don't be a parrot. Well, be a parrot, actually, of God. Say what God says. But anyhow, your thoughts are created by what you meditate on. The mind is the tool that creates the thoughts. The thoughts are spiritual forces. And when your thoughts, the thoughts that are the heaviest The ones that you have the most of will put pressure on your tongue and force your tongue to speak. This is why Jesus said, but that's why he's saying that, because he's saying the words of your mouth are everything. Give a thought for them all. Give no. Oh man, I can't believe I'm getting that. I know. I don't know if you'll. The way that you empower your thoughts, the way that you give power to thoughts is by the words of your mouth. So Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow sane.
Wow.
That's Matthew. You'd miss that if you didn't understand this principle. You reread over that and miss an incredibly powerful principle if you didn't understand this. Matthew 6:34, he says, therefore, he's talking about worry. Now, most of yours will say, do not worry for tomorrow. But the literal translation, and it's in the King James this way, he doesn't say, do not worry. He says, take no thought for tomorrow, saying. Don't take the thought by saying it. That's how you take the thought. Are you with me? That's how you take possession of that thought, is by saying. So the devil will put thoughts in your minds. He'll be bombarding you with thoughts about that person, about yourself, about your body, about whatever. And he starts putting them in your head and putting them in your head so that you will speak them out of your mouth. So when you have the thoughts, you haven't sinned yet. But when you allow them to come out of your mouth is when you sin, if it's not of God, what you said, what I say. Jesus said, for every idle word that men may speak, they will stand in judgment for. For by your thoughts are you, man, I am supernatural recall scripture today. I was about to take a thought saying the wrong thing. Matthew 12, he says it this way. I'll just go back to where I was. Where was I? In Luke? Yeah. Let's do that one. That's where I was originally. Matthew. No, it's 12:35, I think. No, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Does that sound like every word you say isn't important? You can just say anything you want, doesn't matter. I say to you that for every idle word, so-called idle, it's what we would call idle. Jesus says they're not idle. For every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it for you. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Satan is trying to put pressure on your tongue. So when you have these thoughts, just don't say them. You cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. Just don't say it. You can't, the devil will bring thoughts, right? And he'll bring some nasty thoughts. Sometimes you'll be in the middle of worshiping God, and all of a sudden you have these thoughts. You're like, ooh. The devil's just working on you. What he wants you to do is just drop your hands and stop worshiping God. Don't take the thought. Just, first of all, don't own it. Don't own the thought. I am the child of God. Those aren't my thoughts. Devil, you got a dirty mind. Straighten up your act. And then, of course, throughout about life, when you're just out, you're not going to say it in the church service, but when you're out and you find yourself maybe getting angry about someone and you want to tell so-and-so about so-and-so, that's a sin. It's okay that you had the thought. Just move on. Say something else. In fact, the greatest thing you can do is say the exact opposite. You know, Sister so-and-so, isn't she precious?
Amen.
Watch what happens to your heart. The devil just poof, He's like, Gamma, that didn't work, you know. You replaced it with a godly thought. Your heart is the interface, and your words are planting images down into your heart. Your eyes are planting images down into your heart. Your ears are placing, they're exposing information to your heart. Take heed, Jesus said, what you hear. Take heed what you put in front of your eyes. This is why R-rated movies do matter. Don't think, oh, you know, why, you know. No, they seriously matter. This is a garden. Those are seeds. You cannot stop it. Yeah, you cannot stop it. Don't think you're so spiritual that seeds can go into your heart and they won't take root. Right. That's like saying, I can plant seeds in the dirt and they won't grow if I don't want them to grow. If you plant seeds in the dirt, they're going to do what they were intended to do. By their design, they will grow. So we have to be very careful. Now, we have been given an incredibly powerful tool by God called eyelids. Use them. Many times I'm in a movie and here comes a scene that I know God never intended to be on a screen to be seen by the entire public. Clink. Tell me when it's over, man. Usually you can tell by the sound effects. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to do this until it's over. Guard your heart with all diligence. What I know is happening right now when I'm watching that movie or I'm looking at that billboard or I'm looking at that magazine, I know it's getting exposed onto my heart. I know that information is coming and it's getting exposed to my heart. When I was really, you know what a definition of a radical is? When someone calls, oh, they're one of those radicals, radical Christian, you know what a radical person is? It's someone who loves Jesus more than you do. When I was really radical, the first 6 years that I walked with the Lord, I made a decision never to watch a television program, never to go to a movie. I would not even go out on a date. Not that dating's bad, but it's just an opportunity, first of all, to hear their philosophies of life, to have lustful thoughts and ideas. And, you know, I just wanted to completely cut off all information from the world. Not 1 minute of television. Not one movie. All I did was study the Word day in and day out. I probably prayed 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and then I spent the rest of the day in the Word, breaking only for eating, maybe to talk to a neighbor for a little while. I mean, I was radical. I did this for 6 years. Do you know what the end result of that was? I've told you some of it. I can't go into all of it, but let me just tell you, I ended up having what I termed spirit rushes. I've told you all about this. I would literally have the power of God would become so strong on me. But you know what I knew was happening? It wasn't coming from without. It was coming from within. It was like my spirit would just... I mean, it would get so powerful, I would just find myself literally like just stoned in the Holy Ghost. And I would just find a fence post if I was outside to lean on. If I was in my chair, I'd just be frozen. My eyes would become so intensified. I've told you, I feel like I could see for 10 miles. I never tested it, so I don't really know. I could see a sparrow 10 miles away. I was literally charged with the power of God. It was so incredible. My brother John, we've spent so much time together. He happened to be there a couple times when this hit me. And he'd know when it was happening. Dude, you're having one of those spirit rushes, aren't you? I mean, it was incredible. I had recall of scripture that was, it was just incredible. I could practically quote 3/4 of the New Testament. I mean, just, you start anywhere, and I'll just pick up from there, and I could just quote scripture. And yet, I wasn't spending the time to memorize all those scriptures. It was really more supernatural. It was coming out of my spirit. Many times I'd be ministering to people and I would quote a scripture to them. I know I never learned. I'd go back later and invariably the Lord would show it to me. That's exactly what I said to them. That's incredible. You know, then I'd say, oh, I need to learn that one. That's a good one, you know. I want to have that in my arsenal where I can pull it up at will, you know. I could go on and on about what my life was like, but it was unbelievable. It was incredible. My life soared. I ended up going on a national television program, syndicated all over the world, giving testimony of what happened in my business. You know, I mean, I went from $70,000 in debt when I first started. I got turned on to the Lord. I was $70,000 in, well, when I first got turned on to this concept, I was about a year old in the Lord. I was $70,000 in debt. I went from there to being the second highest volume producer in the United States, selling cameras to the military. It's a whole business deal, in 11 months. I mean, it's incredible to do that in 10 years of business. But to go from $70,000 upside down to the second highest volume producer in the United States in 11 months, and you know how I did it, you know how much time I spent in my office once I got this concept and the whole thing started turning around, you know how much time I spent in the office doing it? Just guess how many hours a week I spent in my office or in my stores. Zero. Not 1 hour. In my business in 11 months. Not 1 hour. Now, I had built it up to the point where, you know, through all my great business savvy and everything, it was producing a negative $5,000 a month. And I was $70,000 in debt and going $5,000 more every month, had a nervous breakdown, cried out to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me, said tithe. I committed a tithe to him that day. My business started to explode. The next day, the Lord speaks to me as I'm getting dressed, putting on my pants to go to work, and the Spirit of the Lord's on me really strong. I don't want you going to work. And I went into the bathroom where my brother was, and I said, John, the Lord just told me not to go to work. He says, man, I've heard all the excuses, but I've never heard that one before. God said, I can't go to work. And he, you know, he was joking because I was a workaholic and I was working like 16 hours a day up to that point, which is why I had the nervous breakdown. God told me not to go to work. When I sat in my chair that day to get ready to do whatever God wanted me to do, just be with God, because he said, I want you to stay here today. The Lord spoke to me and said, if you will stay here and obey me, I will show you how to run your business supernaturally. I thought he meant that day. He's going to show me something and then I go back to work. I never set foot in my office again for 11 months and became the second highest volume producer in the U.S. The only guy that was first was in, what's that big Navy area in the East Coast?
Annapolis.
No. Anyhow, he was working in the Navy, this Navy, where is it? I used to know it, but anyhow. He had 9 stores and about 70 employees. I had 3 stores and 20 employees, and we were neck to neck. I was just below him. But I was making 3 times the profits because I was running so efficiently. So even though I was the second highest volume producer, it was God's way. It was incredible. I mean, you know, where it's just incredibly efficient. It was God. All of that, my point of all that is to say, all of that came because I had taken the time to get the interface lined up with God. And how did I do that? I spent hours and hours and hours. And I'm not saying you need to be spending 10 hours a day. I'm just giving you, this is an extreme example, but this is where it'll take you. However much you want to go that way, this is the direction that it'll take you. I was spending all the time in the Word, renewing my mind to the Word of God. Here's the image. I was imprinting this image onto my soul. As a result, my soul became lined up. I almost did it. I was going to come down to this week. Lonnie has put together something I've just been excited about using. One of these days I'm going to use it, this box, but I won't tell you all about it. But anyhow, I don't want to spoil it. I'm not going to tell you about it. But there's this interface that we have. When the interface gets lined up with the Word of God, do you know that it not only lined up with the Word of God, when I take the Word of God to line up my spirit gets lined up. Man, I'm not saying this right. I use the Word of God to change my soul, and my soul gets lined up with my spirit. That's what I was trying to say. When my soul gets lined up with my spirit, that's the interface now operating correctly. It now connects with heaven. My spirit and heaven are flowing like a river, and the power of God gets released. Wisdom starts to flow. Grace starts to flow. The power of God gets released in every area of your life. Your relationships, you're blessed. Your finances, you're blessed. Everything's blessed. Everything. Everything in your life gets touched. You start to walk just like Jesus. You look like him, you act like him, you think like him. Do you know that you literally right now possess the mind of Christ? The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You say, where is it? The interface isn't lined up. The interface has to get lined up. Bam! Then the release of the mind of Christ happens. And I started getting ideas for business, ideas for relationships, ideas for finance. Everything just starts flowing. Everything flows. You're hearing from God. I mean, just you're connected with heaven. The interface is working. Our soul is where it all happens. Or I said earlier, the heart is where it all happens. And where your and my life is determined. Everything that's in your life is a result of your and my heart. What's coming out of the heart is being produced in our life. From the good treasures of a good man's heart, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. For out of the heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And your mouth will produce. Now, this is where all the teaching comes from that you hear, like, name it, claim it, and all that, and people put these negative tags on it. Let me tell you, they're right. They're the right ones. The ones that come against it are the ones that are wrong. Now, I'm not saying, is there wrong in how maybe some of them are using all that? Of course, man's involved. But the truth, the principle, is absolutely straight from the lips of Jesus himself. The words of your mouth will produce what happens in your life. The tongue is so set among our members, it says in James chapter 3, that it sets on fire the course of nature. And the tongue, now in this sense he's saying it in the negative way, is set on fire of hell. The tongue is a world of iniquity, set on fire of hell. And he goes on to say, no man can tame the tongue. Now does he leave it with, well then you're just stuck with this? No. He goes on to talk about your relationship with God will change it. What he's saying is you can't do it without God. You and I cannot change what's in our heart without God. This is God in printed form. He gave it to us. He gave us his heart, and he says, meditate in my word day and night. Spending time in the presence of God is exposing myself to his spirit, and his spirit influences my heart. His word influences my heart. And my words influence my heart. Even though they feel like they're going out, do you know scientifically, physiologically speaking, the very part of your brain that controls speech is connected to the very same part that sends all the nerve endings into every part of your body. So when you speak, your whole body hears it and responds to it. What we say, what we read, what we see, which is, you know, reading, you're seeing it, and what we hear is all affecting our heart, and that will ultimately be produced what's in your life. Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. And it's a lifestyle. It's not something you do for 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. It's a lifestyle. If you want to change your life, if I want to change my life, to the degree we want to change it, to that degree, we start getting serious about guarding our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you have entrusted us with this responsibility of our heart, and that you've placed in us the Spirit of the living God for us to live from. That we have the ability to live from our spirit, the Spirit of God himself. Father, how incredible you've given this to us. Lord, help us right now, I pray, Father, that you would move on us by your Spirit, Father God, that we would take this heart, this matter to heart, and we would get more serious about it than we've ever gotten, Father, that we would be able to step into all that you've already prepared for us, that we can walk in it, Father. Father, I pray that you would move on all of us, Father God, that this seed has gone forth today, Father, would be planted deep into our hearts, and that the enemy would not steal this word, but it will grow and produce 100-fold in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it. Father, I, as the under-shepherd of this church, I speak a blessing over this flock, Father, believing that you, Father, will accomplish this very thing. Father, I pray a blessing over every person here and every person at the sound of my voice right now, Father. Lord, that they would experience your love in a way that they've not experienced yet today, that your love, the knowledge of your love for them would grow in them. Father, I speak peace over their relationships. I speak an increase of peace and joy in every relationship that they have in their life. Father, I pray for wonderful ideas from heaven to come into their lives, Father God, that will bless them in the areas that they need blessings in or desire blessings in. I pray for wonderful ideas from heaven, and I thank you, Father, for an increase of peace and joy in their relationships and an increase in the knowledge of how much you love them. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming today. And if anyone here needs prayer for anything, I just ask you to come on up and I will be here and Peter will be here for you to pray for you. God bless you.